Father, thank you tonight for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our church, Lord. Thank you that you're doing awesome stuff. Thank you for all the testimonies, Lord, all the lives that have been changed over the past few years that we've been ministering, Lord. Thank you for the growth. Thank you for every leader, Lord, that has stood up tonight to lead, God. And I just thank you for the incredible people you've blessed me with in this church, you've blessed us as a leadership team with. Thank you for adding daily, God. Thank you for multiplying our church. We just recognize you tonight that you are building and that, Lord, your promise is that the gates of hell will not prevail. That you will establish what you want to establish in this city, God, in this campus, and in our lives, and we surrender to you tonight. Father, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us very specifically tonight about what is on your heart. Pray that we'd forget about all distractions, all stress, Lord, all stuff that we're thinking about this week. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you would come to meet each one of us where we're at. You know where we're at, Lord. You know our past, Lord. You know our present. And the great thing is also, Lord, that you know our future. And we commit our futures to you tonight. We commit the plans that you have for us. We commit it to you, and we thank you that it comes from you, Lord. So, Lord, tonight, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. And everyone says, the question I want to ask you tonight is, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? You see, from when we were born, God has placed incredible stuff in our lives. God has placed specific stuff in our lives that we don't even know of. And tonight, there's something in your heart. There's something that God has placed in your heart that, and maybe it's starting to come out. I think that some of these leaders that were sharing tonight, you can see there's something in their hearts. They wouldn't be standing up here if they were just doing a job, if they were just happened to be there. There's something burning in all of our hearts. But you see, unfortunately, we know the story. We're born in sin, and we have to wade through a lot of stuff. We've got to wade through a lot of distractions in our lives to find that which God has really placed in our lives. Isn't it so? I mean, most of us have lived here around 20 years on average, at least 20 years, some of us more. And so it takes a while. It takes time to discover what is really in your heart. And if I look at my children, my three beautiful kids, I ask the question, where are they going to end up one day? Are they going to be in the ministry? Are they going to be working for the police? Are they going to be some firefighter somewhere? Are they going to be a sportsman? What are they going to be? What has God placed in their hearts? And I believe God has placed inside of us something very special, and He wants us to discover that. The big why question, why am I here? Anyone asked that question ever in your life? Be honest, have you asked, why am I here? I think if you haven't asked that question, you might as well then kill yourself, because then, you know, you don't need to be here if you haven't asked that question. You might as well die. But I think the world out there is asking that question, why am I here? What has God created me for? Or if you don't believe in God, what am I created for? Why am I here? What is my purpose? I asked that question a while ago. I knew about God and I had a relationship with the Lord, but I felt in my life that, you know, it was all about me still. Because I was asking, what about me? Where am I going? And the big I was very prevalent. But I was fortunate to ask that question in my life. And I was driving with my mother one day, and I was talking to her about my life, because I just started a career as an engineer. And I'd also just started to run. I started to train hard. I discovered that I have something in me called running. I used to love running. I used to love training. I used to love doing well, improving myself. And so I was doing fairly well with my running. And I just said to my mother, I said, listen, yeah, all I want to do is to be a professional runner. I think I'm in the wrong career. Not supposed to be an engineer. I'm supposed to be this professional sports person, because I've discovered something that I really want to do, and my job isn't like really fulfilling. So I started to ask these questions. What am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? And when I think back on that question that I was asking, it was so good, because it was something God was unlocking in my heart. It wasn't as if I was necessarily asking the right questions, but I think I was asking questions, and God was working in my heart. He was unlocking something in my heart. Something starting with a P. It's called passion. I started to discover that I don't just want to live life. I don't just want to survive. I don't just want to go through every day doing the same old, same old. I want to live for something. I want to live with passion. I want to live with purpose. I want to live with a call for a cause. And so what was great about that whole conversation and the whole question that I started to ask, and my mother could see that I'm not going to be a professional runner. I kind of knew it in my heart as well, because I knew how hard I'd worked and I knew how far I was behind the guys who were getting paid to run full time. And so I thought, this is a bit of an impossibility, but I just feel like I want to do something else. And I'm so thankful I asked those questions, because something in my heart was starting to be unlocked and God started a journey with me. I read something the other day that it's not a godly blog, but it's a blog by a guy called Mark Manson. It's a motivational or life coach type of a blog. It's nothing biblical, but he said something which stood out for me. And he said the following. He says, what most people don't understand is that passion is the result of action and not the cause of it. I'm going to say that again. Passion is the result of action, not the cause of it. In other words, he's trying to say that you've got to get out there and do something to really discover what's in your heart. Amen. It doesn't help you dream about it or sit watching sport the whole time and think, yes, I want to be a sports person. Ask any of us who've trained hard in our lives. You discover that passion when you start to do it and you start to achieve things. You start to feel like this is what you've been called for. It doesn't help just watching TV and dreaming and theorizing about stuff. It just doesn't help. So passion is ignited when we actually start to go and do something. Isn't that so? And so it's important to start somewhere and to ask the Lord, what is the next step for your life? What is really in your heart? And start to discover what is in your heart. I want to look a little bit at just the life of David just briefly and see. David was a man that we can look at because he had an incredible heart. In Acts chapter 13, it says the following. It says, that God writes and he says, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Who wants to have that as your testimony one day? The end of your life. You want to see Father God saying, I found Belinda, son or daughter of whoever. What's your dad's name? Sorry? Tace. I've found Belinda, the daughter of Tace, a woman after my own heart who will do all my will. I found you, a man after my own heart. Who's your dad, you? Hugo. Okay, it's quite similar. Hugo, you. I found Hugo, you, the son of Hugo, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. I find whoever you can put your name in there. Wouldn't you like God to say that about you? But the big question this evening is, can God say that about all believers? Let's be honest here. Who says that God can say that about all believers right now? No one. See, I don't think God can say that about all believers right now, because I don't think all believers are after God's own heart doing his will. But you know what? Do you know that God wants to say that about all believers? Who would say that God wants to say that about all believers? I think he does. I think God is a father. God is an amazing God. He wants everyone to be blessed and he wants everyone to have a heart after him, whom he can trust with doing his will. There was something special about the heart of David. David had a heart after God. There was one thing that happened in David's life where I believe it was almost the defining moment of his life. It happened just before he had to face Goliath. In fact, he came to the Israelite army and he saw no one wants to face this massive guy from the enemy. And he just came to bring his brother some food and some supplies. And he asked this question which caused so many people. In fact, it caused his brothers to be so jealous of him that they thought, what are you doing here? Get back to looking after some sheep. He asked one question. He asked the following. He says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to be living for? Is there not a cause to go through life for? Or are we just supposed to be living in fear? Are we supposed to be surviving? Are we supposed to be the tail? Or are we supposed to be the head? Are we supposed to be overcomers here? Is there a cause to live for? And I believe we all should ask that question. Is there not a cause to be living for? Is there not a cause greater than ourselves, greater than just my life and my little career and my family and my safe place? Is there not a cause? David was a man after the will of God. Not only was he a man after the will of God, David was a man after the presence of God. In Psalm 24, 7 verse 4, it says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek." Is that something that you desire right now in your life, seeking the presence of God? He says that I may dwell. This is all I desire, is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David asked this question and he challenged himself. He says, you know what? All I desire is the presence of God. All I desire is to fellowship with God. And out of that place, I believe David changed the world. Isn't that so? David understood something. He understood that to be in the presence of God is the best place that he could have been at. But you know, he knew he needed to seek it. Do you know this evening that you need to seek the presence of God? You know why? Have you ever thought of that? Because there's so many other stuff in life that's shouting for our attention. Sean just talked about the youth now. I think it's not only the youth that are in trouble. I think it's all of us that are in trouble. Amen. Cell phones, TV, books, magazines, stuff out there that is shouting for our attention. And you know what? It's designed exactly for this. It's designed to draw us into this place of intensity with this thing. Whether it's a phone or whether it's a computer or whatever, even if it's work, even if it's good stuff, it's designed to draw us in and to take our full attention that we can focus on nothing else except that thing. And guys, we struggle with that because we can be focused. So what do? We focus on one thing. Sometimes very bad stuff. I heard a scary thing yesterday. One of the pastors sent a message on the pastor's group. He talked about a guy called Stephen Lungu. I think some of you know Pastor Stephen Lungu. He'll probably come and minister here sometime. A black guy from Malawi. He's got an incredible testimony. God saved him out of gangsterism and really being killing people, really being a heart of hatred because his dad messed up with him and all of that. But anyway, his wife died last year. Went to heaven for 7 days. She was raised from the dead seven days later. She came back and she said some scary things. She said three things. She said, one thing the Lord showed me is that some pastors are going to be burning in hell. That's the first thing that we must just know. Second thing is most Christians are distracted by phones and all the other stuff, and they're not reading their Bible anymore. That was scary for me. And the third thing is the church is delaying the coming of Jesus. We are the problem. I'm not putting that on to condemn you. I'm just saying that we do we have a desire for the presence of God, or do we have a desire for so many other things? But David understood this. David understood that the house of the Lord and the presence of God were connected. And I believe he made this link because there's a blessing to be in the presence of God on your own. But you know what? There's a greater blessing to be in the presence of God with so many other people. Amen. Isn't that so? Have you thought about that? Why do we do church? Why do we come to church on a Sunday? Why do we worship like we do? Because God is glorified when we come together, and heaven's going to be like that. Heaven is not going to be just you on your own with God. It's going to be masses and masses of people. So we must have the presence of God in our lives personally, but I think we must get excited about coming together to the house of God where it's not about this building. We can get together anywhere. Get together in your small groups. Get together on campus. Get together wherever. But there's an anointing when we come together and we start to see the house of God being built. And my life was changed when I came to church. I'm so thankful for this movement and for Shofar. It just happened to be the church that God chose for me to be a part of. And I'm so thankful because I was part of a church previously. And, you know, church was just church. Church wasn't about the gathering of the saints to experience the joy and the presence of God. And I can truly say I found it in this body, there in Stellenbosch. I'm so thankful God called me. Is there anyone here who can say that your life was changed without the church? So anyone can say that you don't need the church because it's just you and Jesus? I don't think anyone can say that. I think all of us have a testimony that the corporate anointing, the blessing of the body of Christ was there for us. And David was trying to get this point across that not only is the presence of God important in your life personally, but the presence of God is important because the house of God is important to God. David not only had a desire for the presence of God, he not only had a desire to see God's face and to do God's will, but David had something in his heart that I believe all of us must ask the Lord to birth inside of us. He had something burning in his heart, and the sad thing is he wasn't even allowed to do it. David, all he wanted to do and all he lived his life for was to do this. He said, if you can go to the next slide, he said, King David rose to his feet and he said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and I had made preparations to build it." See, God didn't even allow David to build him a house. He said, "You know what? You're full of blood. Your hands are full of blood. You've been a man of war. But you know what? I honor that heart's commitment that you've made. I honor that burning desire in your heart because guess what? I've placed it there. And your son Solomon will build me a house and will establish the temple and restore the temple, restore the presence of God, restore worship." That's what David lived his life for. David was a man of war and he did all sorts of other things. He was king simply to establish the presence of God, to establish the house of God. And I want to say to you tonight, if you've got a vision that is just going to be fulfilled in your lifetime, your vision is too small. Sorry to say. God wants us to have a vision in our lives that are so much greater than us, that our children and their children's 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 children will fulfill the vision and the plan that God has for your life. Maybe you're the first one who's been saved in your family. Maybe you come from an ungodly family and no one has been saved, but you're saved. You know why? So that your children and their children and their children can walk in a godly legacy. God wants to start something through you. Or maybe tonight you're walking in a godly legacy. Maybe you are the third generation who's serving God because your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather served God and you are just fulfilling a legacy. Praise the Lord. It should grow from glory to glory to glory. Isn't that so? But I want to say, God wants to birth visions in us that are so much greater. And that's what he was trying to say to David. He said, "You know what? You're not going to do everything. Because I'm a God of the Abraham, the Isaac, and the Jacob." Amen. Some of us need to get a bit out of our selfish boxes because we are so great. We are so the anointed and we're going to do everything. And God says, "No, you're not going to do everything. Some things you're not going to do. But you know what? I see that desire in your heart and I want to birth it through your children. I want to birth it through your offspring." So find a godly wife. Amen. Students, are you excited? Finally, find a godly husband, ladies, so that you can birth godly children. Hallelujah. Go and see Lisa and JP for some marriage prep, okay? Unfortunately, you didn't get to see their faces, but you'll see them sometime. God is a God of the generations. What is in your heart this evening that God can continue with? What is in your heart? David wanted to build the temple. Why? Where's the temple of God today? Is the temple this building? Is Jim Fisher High School the temple of God? You know, it's so amazing that we don't have to have church in a church because, you know, this can't be the temple because they have school here tomorrow. Amen? It just reminds us that church is not a building. Church is us, you and me, getting together. The temple of God is inside you. Turn to someone next to you and say, "You are the temple of God." This morning they sang that song. Did you guys know that song? Vietjeni, Vietjeni, yes, a temple. Anyone know? Vasie Afrikaanse mense, kom raak opgewonde nou. Huh? Vietjeni, yes, a temple. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a temple of God. God wants to build his temple in your heart. He wants to build his temple in our hearts. And I'll never forget when I became an usher In the house of God, you know, there was a scripture that came up. So I don't exactly know where the scripture is, but it says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be anywhere else. And a friend of mine encouraged me to start serving because I was a cell facilitator at the time. I was a cell leader. I wasn't serving anywhere, although you can call, I mean, I was serving, but, you know, and he said to me, "Why don't you come and serve in the house of God on a Sunday? Come to serve on a Sunday." And it changed my life. And I ended up coordinating the usher ministry. I said to the office staff, I said, you know what? I'm taking all of this away from you guys. You do what you need to do. I'm coordinating this ministry. I'll lead up this ministry. And the guy looked at me with big eyes. He thought, yes, this is amazing. You know, I'm out of a job here. And I said, no, I'll do it after hours. I'll build a team and I'll get the ushers together. And we're going to, I'm excited to see people come into the house of God. We can welcome them. We can set the place up. We can. And it changed my life, and I started to serve, and I started to get a heart for the house, and that thing was birthed in my heart. And since then, I've never stopped having a heart for the house of God. God did something there. Then I started to pray for people and see people's lives changed and leading people to Christ, and it was just so amazing. Because God birthed something in my heart, the same as what He did with David, to build the house of God. What is the most precious possession that you have in your life? Can anyone tell me, what is your most precious possession? Come. Every one of us have got it. It's all the same. Anyone shout out a word? It's a four-letter word. What is your most precious possession? Some of us have wasted it. Some of us don't know, actually, that it's short. It's called time. You can read it up there, or it's here on your wrist. I don't know where your time is. Our most precious possession is time. I loved when my wife did a teaching in Uganda, when we went to Uganda up in Africa a couple of years ago. So she told the people there, you know what? All of us have got 24 hours in a day. And you should have seen those African people's eyes. You know, because for Africa, time is most, you've got lots of hours in a day. So she said, you know, all of us have got the same amount of time. And that is the scary reality, is that each one of us have got 24 hours in a day. What are we doing with that time? David said, moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of God. Once again, this is a heart thing. You cannot say, I've set my affection on something if it doesn't come from your heart. You can say it. It won't mean much. But David meant it because he said, because I've set my affection on the house of God, this is what he did. He said, I've given to the house of my God over and above all that I've prepared for the holy house. He's given his own special treasure of gold and silver. David was trying to say, you know what? I've retired and I don't even have to do this. I can actually just sit and drink pineapple drinks next to the beach. I'm retired. I'm an old man. I'm about to die. I don't have to do all this stuff. But you know what? I've made plans to build the house of God. I've given of my time. I've given of everything. But not only have I given of my time, I've given of another precious resource, which all of us many times desire. Wealth, money. Possessions. I've given of that to build the house of God. So I want to challenge us this evening with that, because all of us have got time and all of us have got resources. The fact that we're sitting in the Western world, we're studying at university, we're living in such a wealthy town in a way, at least the wealthy part of the town, the wealthy side of town. We've got lots of resources. We've got lots of possessions. We've got lots to give. Amen. And David, at the end of his life, said, you know what, until I die, I'm going to continue to give, because my heart is to build the house of God. And what happened? He said the following. He said, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to take communion, we're going to pray, and we're going to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Because I believe God is asking us, who is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? And the leaders started to give. The people started to give. And you know what? There was great joy. There was great joy. Rejoicing because God's house was being built. I believe that's God's heart for us here in Bloemfontein. It's not just, and I'm not just talking about the ministries we have just talked about. I'm not saying we must focus all our energy on just getting this wall nice, because that's great. And I think it's important, because some people will not be able to worship if that screen is skew, or if the chairs are packed all in random order. Some people get distracted by it. So we put effort in to make the hall look nice. We put effort in to make it look a little bit less like a school hall. But I don't want us to put all our effort into getting this place perfect. I want us to put our effort into building people's lives. Amen. Can I have an amen? But you know what's great about these ministries is that to get this whole set up and all right, you know what? We can do the same thing. We can build into people's lives while we're doing this. And then we get excited to invite people. Because I just remember, you know, when I got involved in church, I was excited to invite people to church because I'm not going to put out these chairs for nothing. We must get people to sit on these chairs. Amen. And we can fit lots more chairs in this hall. There's no limits until we start putting the coffee outside and in the hall. Then we'll start looking at another venue. But God has blessed us with a venue that we can fill up with people. But let's start building the house of God. Let's say, God, what have you placed in my heart? What have you placed in my heart? Last scripture this evening. You guys can start handing out the communion so long. Jesus, in John chapter 2, John writes and says, then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them the following, get these things out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace. Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. The same passion that was in David's heart for the house of God was in his lineage, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The same passion to drive out the money changers, to say, listen, yeah, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My house is my Father's house for holiness, for glory, for honor. You know, Jesus understands us this evening, guys. Jesus wants to birth that same seed that was in his own life when he walked on this earth, the seed that was birthed in him by the Holy Spirit, because Jesus was born of the Spirit of God. And you know who else was born of the Spirit? He was anointed of the Spirit. David wasn't born of the Spirit, sorry. He was anointed of the Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he was anointed as king, and he walked in the fulfilling, he fulfilled the purposes of God. He could say, is there not a cause to be lived for? Because that's what happened after he was anointed with the Spirit of God. He started to say, is there not a cause? And then he destroyed all the enemies around him, and he established the kingdom. And then he said, I want to build a house, because one thing I desire, and that I will seek, is to dwell in the house of the Lord. Because there's nothing like the presence of God. There's nothing like the Holy Spirit of God in your life and in my life. So I want you to close your eyes this evening. Once you've received your bread and your wine, I want you to close your eyes. Jesus had a heart that was burning for his Father's house. I believe God has placed that same desire inside each one of you. A passion for his people, passion for his house, his church, a passion for his kingdom. But the question is, are you willing to discover it right now? Are you willing to start a journey of discovery and saying, God, my medical studies, my architecture studies, my sports studies, my sport I'm playing, my career, the work I'm doing, Lord, that doesn't define me. And that isn't ultimately my calling. That's just a means to reach more people. My calling is to see the kingdom of God established in so many people's lives. My calling is to see the presence of God established in so many people's lives. And these ministries that we have just presented tonight is simply, it's people that are loving people. I just love that video of Caramellas. I just love the worship there. There's so many people hungry for the presence of God. There's so many people hungry for the Holy Spirit, hungry for life, not just religion. And tonight we have that opportunity to present to them life, because we have life. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have life. You don't know Jesus Christ. You don't have the power of the Holy Spirit empowering you to do what God has called you to do. And I can testify out of my own life. Before I had the Holy Spirit in my life, I didn't know what I was living for. In fact, all I was living for was me, myself, and I. And Jesus was sort of part of my life. Jesus was there, and I knew, and I was so thankful I was going to heaven, because that's all I wanted Jesus for, was just to save me from hell. And Jesus isn't here just to save us from hell. Jesus is here to give us life, guys. Jesus is here to give us a purpose and a calling. And I discovered my calling when the Holy Spirit came upon me and I had a passion to see people get saved. I had a passion to see the church of God grow. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing tonight. That's why I'm standing up here as a pastor. What a privilege. I count it incredible privilege to be a pastor, to be your pastor. I love you guys. Just saw the, we were at Annika's birthday yesterday. I saw the incredible friendship group that, that Annika's got. She's an incredible leader. You guys have got a blessed leader, ladies. But I saw potential. I saw incredible people sitting around her. And it was just so wonderful to pastor you guys. And but my heart's desire is not to just have a nice, comfortable group of people. My heart's desire is to see nations getting saved. To see the kingdom of God expanding. To see children come to know Jesus. To see youth come to know Jesus. The youth are messed up. The students are messed up. You guys are blessed. You know Jesus. You come to church. So many people don't know Jesus. Or they know about Him, but they're living for themselves. And Jesus is asking us tonight just to say yes. To have a heart for His house. To have a heart for His kingdom. To have a heart for Him, first of all. I believe out of that heart for Him, you know what? He'll birth in you incredible stuff. He'll start ministries through you. If you believe that, He'll start ministries through you. So Lord, I pray for every person sitting under my voice this evening. I thank You for Your Spirit that is here to speak very clearly to Your people tonight, Jesus. You are building Your church. You are building lives here tonight. And you are incredibly excited about the potential that is in this room, Lord. Lord, some people here in this room don't know the potential that's in them. They've never met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in all His glory. I sense some of us tonight, some of you guys tonight need to just come to Jesus and say, Jesus, fill me with Your desire. The same desire that burnt in you when you chased the money changers out of the temple. The same desire that took you to the cross. The same desire that allowed you to empower people to take Your kingdom further. I believe Jesus wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit tonight. I believe some of us know about Jesus. We know Jesus, but we've never witnessed His power working in and through our lives. I know the anointing of the Spirit of God is here tonight, and He wants to anoint people with His Spirit tonight to empower them to have a heart like David. A pure heart. A heart of repentance. A heart after God, a heart after the presence of God, not after songs. You know, the generation we live in is all after songs and after good feelings. And David was not after good feelings. David was after the heart of God. And God could say back to him, my heart is after You. You're a man after my own heart. I love You. And God wants to say that to some servants tonight. He wants to remind you that He loves you so much. He wants to say, you are a woman and a man after my own heart. I want to show you what it is to live a life like David. So this evening, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to respond. Before we take communion together, I believe some people here tonight, you need to be anointed with the Spirit of God. The Spirit that was on David. Because that heart did not come from anywhere else. It came from a desire for the presence of God and was birthed inside of him by the Holy Spirit. David had an incredible relationship with the Spirit of God. He lived in the Old Testament. He lived before the outpouring of the Spirit where all flesh could receive the Spirit. He was very specifically anointed. But you know what? We're living post-Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been poured out for all of us to receive. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit of God tonight, I want you to raise your hand and say, Alistair, I want to be empowered to have a heart for the kingdom of God, a heart for God's house, a heart for God's people. Whatever it takes, but I want to have a heart after God. Because I don't know what's in my heart now. But I just want God to birth in me something. And I'm going to start to discover that which God has birthed in me. So is there anyone like that? You would love to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. You need to respond to Him. Maybe you've been filled with the Spirit, but you're just not living a life with a heart after God. Your heart is not truly after God. Your heart is so distracted. Your heart is so filled with stuff. And God wants to cleanse your heart tonight. Amen. So if that's you, I'd love to pray with you. Let's all stand this evening. If God is speaking to you tonight, while we all stand, if God was speaking, if He's speaking to you tonight, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. We'd love to pray with you for God to fill you with His Spirit. I want you to come forward. If you're too shy, just grab the person next to you. So I want to have God birth in me a passion and a desire for what's on His heart. If God is speaking to you, just come. We'd love to pray with you. Facilitators will pray with you. If you need to give your life to Jesus tonight, if you need to repent and turn away from all your old ways, then come. Jesus is here to set you free. Jesus is here to touch your life. Thank you guys for your response. Just join these people in front. If the Lord is speaking to you, then just come. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you need to be empowered to do the good works God has called you for, then come. God is going to birth in you a passion. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing tonight.